Are you filled with fear, doubt, worry about the future of our country? Do you feel the urgency to act before it's too late? If yes, then this podcast is for you. It's time for us all to confront the critical issues threatening our nation's fabric, our democracy itself, irregardless of our political stance. If you're ready to face reality, handle the tough questions, and find real solutions, then here's your host, Debbie Lynn Molyneux.
Welcome to the Terrified Nation podcast. I'm your host, Debbie Lynn Molyneux. Can we save it? That's what we're exploring in this podcast series. And for me, the answer is yes, we can and we must. This show is where we explore alternatives to being afraid, building on previous shows where we've learned about how conflict profiteers are actually fueling our downward spiral. We've touched on how dystopian future stories dominate the narrative landscape, and we started to understand the importance of what and how we think and the implications for our future possibilities. And in the last show, we discovered how easy it is to know what we don't want and a little harder to know what we want. Today, we'll explore how we discover what we want together, and I'll share some early research that I'm doing that shows promise. You might have noticed that I like to start each show with a question that we'll explore together. Here's today's question. Do you know what others want and need? And how are these similar or different to what you want and need? Or we could call this step two, knowing what we want together. Now, I live in a mixed family. We have dogs and cats. And our newest addition to the family is this young hound dog, found running around in a rural state nearby. Her name's Ladybird, and we were told that she's good with cats, and she is, for the most part, unless she gets triggered. And think about, you know, maybe your family members in this scenario. So recently I was doing chores, and one of the chores was filling the dog food bin with new food. And I was listening to this podcast as I worked and not really paying much attention to the kids as they started to gather around, thinking that it was dinner time. Now, normally, I crate Ladybird when I'm feeding everybody because I know of this trigger. It happens when I'm filling her bowl. But it wasn't dinner time and I was unaware of what was happening. And suddenly, Ladybird charges Peter, one of the cats, and she turned him over and she was holding him by his stomach. I rushed in, I picked her up, threw her in her crate, yelled at her, telling her she was going to have to find another home. She had bitten me, and by the time I got something on the wound, I found Peter, pulled him out from under the bed. He was fine. There was no blood. There was no wounding, and I left him on the bed where he stayed there. A couple of hours later, he came back in the kitchen for dinner, and Ladybird stayed in her crate until after dinner. Everyone was okay, but in that moment, I felt really, really angry, and then afraid, and then disappointed. Peter and Ladybird are fine. Animals are often more forgiving than humans. And later that night, everyone showed up for family time. Now, this is a reward session where both cats and both dogs get treats for just showing up and being near each other. The dogs have to perform some tricks. The cats get The dogs show up and get their treats when they do tricks. The cats just show up and get participation kibble. So my question for us is, like, how quick are we to forgive while not forgetting? There's been some wariness in Peter, but it is still, there's not any hesitation about being together. And this reminds me of something that happens in medicine, and it's the first guideline in any treatment, and it's called do no harm. You've probably heard of this. So when I think back to Ladybird, I let her down by not being aware that I was acting in her trigger zone. And I felt hurt and disappointed in her, yes, but also in myself. And I know that I have hurt and disappointed other people too. We all have. It's just part of, like, being human. But there are two obvious paths in this kind of do no harm principle. And those two obvious paths to kind of restore wholeness are awareness and kindness. Now, first of all, awareness of myself and others, like, what is happening around me? How are my friends and family really? And how might I interact in a way that's helpful to all of us? Now, if you have ever been in an abusive relationship, you may have this an extra dose of this awareness. I know that I did growing up, and it really serves me well now because I have this kind of spidey sense of when somebody could use kindness. And when we soften our hearts to increase kindness in the world, in both our feelings towards others and in how we act towards them, it's one way we can begin to heal the harm we've caused each other. Kindness heals harm. And when we do this consistently over time, we discover that we create actually a kind and compassionate community around us. I think it's one of the reasons that the show Friends was so popular, because despite all of their personal challenges and foibles, the characters were ultimately kind people. There's another kind of kindness, and that's to tell people what you want. Of course, you first have to know what you want and then present it in a way that can be heard. So going back to my family situation, what I really want is to have a happy and healthy family dynamic that includes the pets. No one harms anyone else. Additionally, you know, personally, I want to be financially comfortable and able to live without worrying about money. I want deep, loving, kind relationships and so on. There's a lot that I want. So stop for just a moment. I mean, really stop. Do you know what the people closest to you really want? Their heart's desire, their dreams. When was the last time you asked? When someone tells me what they want, I know they're coming from a place of extreme vulnerability. And our rugged, individualistic society has trained all of us to not need anyone else. And I'm here to tell you, that's just a crock of shit. And it's part of why asking for what we want or need feels so scary. So I have a friend who, over the course of, you know, the 15 years we've known each other, he borrows money from me. Or I should say, he calls me and tells me he needs help paying his bills. And I know that he's at survival level most of the time. And if I have money, I give it to him. And if I don't, I don't. I'm able to say no without guilt, but I'm also able to tell him, hey, don't worry about paying this back to me. Pay it forward to someone else. And it has helped maintain our friendship over time. I have other friends when I was younger that did this to me as well. But let's get back to dreaming for just a second, because when was the last time you actually sat down with your friends and family and shared your dreams? Now, if you decide to do this, I would highly recommend setting up a couple of ground rules first. No judging, no fixing. This is a joyful experience when it happens, because I have friends who share their dreams with their community regularly. And as they're sharing their dreams about, hey, we're trying to build up this community center where this rural community can gather and we can do things together, and it's an artist space and it's a dinner club, etc. They tell their community what they're doing, and then they say, here's what we need to make this happen. And as a result of this, they have been gifted a car, a fifth wheel, which they currently live in. They've been given equipment for the community center, and it was all because they were brave enough to authentically share their dreams, bring people in, include them, and others showed up to help them without any expectation of return. This is true generosity. It's actually how we're wired as people, because when our dreams are secret, we have to do it all by ourselves, and it's really lonely. So stop for just a minute and think about, where are you already in community? And what I mean by community is, like, who are the people with whom you group? Like, it could be in person, it might be online. It could be your neighborhood or this group of close friends. It may be where you volunteer or people at work. It could be your faith community. Maybe online you have a social media community or several groups to which you belong. Our human nature is wired for being part of a group. And while the conflict profiteers have really created, like, in-groups and out-groups to meet this need, that is not healthy for us, our families, and it's certainly not healthy for our nation, because our nation is made up of all of us. I have a friend who, in the early days of the Tea Party, first got involved politically by joining the Tea Party, and he was really curious and enjoyed getting to know all these new friends in the Tea Party. So when he heard about this other group I was part of called the Coffee Party, which was a group of conservatives and independents and liberals all talking to each other, he came over and said, hey, what are you guys doing? And when he went and told his Tea Party friends that, hey, there's this other group over here, I think we should get to know them better, they actually said no and labeled the coffee party as being strictly liberal. And if Shane was going to talk to them, he couldn't be part of the Tea Party anymore. Needless to say, Shane and the rest of us at the coffee party partied on for several years, and we had a great time. But it brought up this idea of, like, is there a penalty for you if you have connections outside of the groups you belong to? I.e., are you going to be exiled if you explore new ideas and new beliefs and develop new friends? Those are unhealthy communities. And what we're trying to build, what most of us want, are healthy communities where we can show up authentically ourselves. And that gets to part of another project that I'm doing, is helping people identify a future that they want. And I'm hoping that by helping individuals know what they want for their own future, that together we can find common themes and interests that will help us know what we want together. And in this work, I've already uncovered 3.5 things that every participant wants. The first is connection. Everyone that I've talked with wants to have close family and friends with whom to share their lives in the future. The second is contribution. Everyone also wants to help others around them, to make a difference in other people's lives. And sometimes it's just sharing a story about lessons that they've learned. And sometimes it's advancing, like, a larger body of work to help society as a whole. There are people that have a variety of contributions that are both small, intimate contributions or big systems changing contributions. But we need to receive them. Part of contribution means there's a receiver on the other end. And in our society that has prioritized giving, there are fewer people who are receiving. So, you know, think about that. So we've got connection, we have contribution. The last thing that everyone wants, or the third thing I should say, is we want to live in a place where we belong. I just mentioned this before. It's essential that we belong to a group of people in a community, and we get to be ourselves. The half, I mentioned 3.5 things. The half is about having access to nature, because some people are, as they're describing their future life to me, they're describing a place where they live near nature and they go hiking and do all sorts of things. The other folks are living in cities, but they're desirous of more parks and green space around them. So they want nature nearby while they live in a city. So there's this resonance to having the natural world nearby and accessible. And I think part of what that is because when we are in nature, we are reminded that beneath all of our values, all of our virtues, all of our faults, we actually live in this really vast world that we're connected to, because we are connected to everything. In closing today, I'd just like to thank you for giving a damn about our nation. We may be a terrified nation today, but we can do better. We can save the USA. Join me next time.
So that's it for today's episode of Terrified Nation. Head on over to iTunes or wherever you listen and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week who posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $15,000 private VIP day with Debbie Lynn Molyneux herself. Be sure to head on over to TerrifiedNationPodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Debbie Lynn's gift. And join us on the next episode.